Now, on UK Health Radio, treat yourself to an upgrade. Pack away your low self-esteem. Leave behind that empty feeling. Stow your fears and doubts in the overhead locker. And go from stress to authentic success with Danielle Sachs.
Hello, hello, and of course, a big welcome back to From Stress to Authentic Success. I'm your host, Danielle Sachs. And whether you are listening while walking, driving, simply resting, I want to invite you today to breathe. It is summer, a time when we often look outside for rest, for joy, or escape even. But what if this summer we also remembered to look within? Because, you know, real wealth, the kind that gives you peace, clarity, and a steadiness, isn't found in what you do or how much you accomplish. It lives inside of you, quietly, constantly waiting for your attention. That's what this episode is going to be about. It's going to be an invitation to remember that, because I am joined today by a guest who writes and speaks with clarity and courage, someone who has, I believe, spent decades investigating not only the world around us, but the world within us. His name is David Edwards, a UK-based author and co-editor for the respected platform Media Lens, which is an amazing space, I believe. And that space looks at how truth is shaped by media and power. But what brings him here today with me in this conversation is something more personal, more inner. He is the author of a beautiful little guidebook called A Short Book About Ego and the Remedy of Meditation. And just, I believe, as the title suggests, it is about the patterns that live in all of us. The anger, the resentment, the restlessness, the fear, and how those emotions, when you don't check them out, when left unchecked, let's say, keep us in cycles of pain and performance. But David has not the intention to offer you and I a technique to fix them. He offers something so much simpler: presence, witnessing, stillness. And in this conversation, we're going to talk about what I want to know from him is, what is the ego, and what is, you know, is it bad or wrong or positive? And how meditation is not about perfection, but about creating that space to feel, to breathe, and to be. And that, to me, is what, of course, my brand True Wealth is really about. Because when you stop the rush, when you stop trying to be more, do more, have more, you will start to notice the richness of just being human, of life, fully, honestly, without any filters. So, as you listen in today, I invite you here and now to slow down, not with your mind, but with your body, to notice what arises, to notice how you feel. And maybe let this conversation be a reminder for you that the summer doesn't need to be spectacular or even productive. It just needs to be true. Well, let's have a little break and then start my conversation with David Edwards. Talk to you just now.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to every single one of you all over the world and on this beautiful platform, UK Health Radio. And let me tell you today, I am so intrigued to start this conversation with David Edwards on the book, A Short Book About Ego. I just want to talk about ego today. So welcome, David.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I'm excited because let's just start with, what
in your life has made you so interested in talking about ego, writing a book about it?
Well, although the book's called A Short Book About Ego, it's also called A Short Book About Ego and the Remedy of Meditation.
Yes.
So my main motive for writing the book is to share my experiences of meditation.
Okay.
But I've also always been interested in the problem of ego and how much suffering it causes. And as you'll know, the whole point about meditation is that we're seeking and finding a source of happiness inside. And ego is all about finding happiness outside.
Mm.
And when I grew up, I was lucky to grow up in quite a privileged family. Although my parents were originally probably working class, my father from Wales, my mother from Sweden.
Sweden? So you're
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm half Swedish. It's an unusual mixture. Mm. And so my dad ended up as a managing director of a paper mill in the southeast of England. So he had a Jaguar. His friends had swimming pools. We didn't have a huge amount of money, but we were quite privileged. And they had the pools, they had the Jags, they had the expensive holidays, but they also had lots of divorces, depressions, alcoholism, and Valium.
Oh, wow.
And so from a very young age, I was sort of looking at this and thinking, wait a minute, these people are the successes, you know, they're mm-hmm. successful, but they're not happy. And so even from quite a young age, I was really fascinated, you know, if this is success and these people are suffering hugely, what's happiness? And is happiness even a possible thing? And so that got me thinking about the failure of success, the fact that the ego the wins attention, wins money and possessions, but doesn't find what it wants. And in the book, I quote Truman Capote, who said, "More tears are shed over prayers answered than prayers unanswered." So that
wow.
was, yeah.
Can you repeat that? Because I find that very powerful.
Yes. He said, "More tears are shed over prayers answered than prayers unanswered." So
what does he mean with that?
I think he meant, well, according to me, he meant that the problem isn't that we can't get what we want. Often we can. But when we do, it doesn't feel as though we've got what we want and we haven't got happiness.
Oh,
so okay. when we've got what we want and we haven't attained happiness, where do we go now?
Mm.
And this, of course, is the huge crisis that confronts every millionaire and every billionaire.
Yes.
They've got everything they want,
yes,
but they haven't got happiness. So what next?
Yes, I agree. I call that outside success. Like you say,
yeah.
You know, the movement, the focus is on the outside. That's
yes.
what you mean with the ego as well. The focus is on the outside. Now, why do you think, what do you think is the biggest suffering of the ego? Is that it, not finding happiness?
I think the biggest suffering of ego fundamentally is that there is a source of love and bliss inside us, which is inexhaustible, completely hidden away. And the more we search outside for happiness, external happiness, the further away we move from this internal happiness.
Mm.
So we're guaranteed to suffer. There's a story that says, if you're sitting on a box of gold, every step you take away from the box in search of wealth is a step in the wrong direction.
Mm.
And
mm.
I think our whole society is directed in the wrong direction, away from the box of gold that we're sitting on all the time, which is inside. And so I think
David, I want to pick up on that, because I didn't realize how much you are aligned with what I call true wealth, you know, my branding. True wealth is exactly that. You are talking about the wealth we look for outside of us. And true
yeah.
wealth is our wealth that we have been having all along and haven't gone deepened yet. You know, like is that what you say?
Exactly right.
Hmm.
And the interesting thing about meditation is that you can access that. It's a bit like a cinema screen. What's
mm.
the what's the nature of a cinema screen? It's white, but we don't normally see that white screen because it's covered in images. And when we're thinking, that there are two factors. There's thinking and there's awareness of thinking. We're aware that we're thinking. So there are two phenomena. So what's the nature of awareness? Well, it's like the white cinema screen. You don't normally have access to understanding the nature of awareness because it's covered over in thought. And thought just swamps any ability to feel a pure awareness. And in meditation, what happens is you redirect your attention away from thinking, maybe to your feelings or to your sensations. And as you do that, thinking slows down because it's attention that fuels thinking. But when you redirect attention away from thinking to some other phenomenon, thinking slows down, and eventually gaps appear in the stream of
Yes,
thought,
I agree.
just like gaps can appear on a cinema screen, and then you can see the white screen. So what's the nature of awareness without thought blocking it? That's what happened to me after years of stumbling around in meditation, falling asleep and fantasizing. I suddenly perceived a gap in thought. So what was the nature of it? Just like a spark of love and bliss, sitting on a chair, on a sofa bed, or whatever, normally half asleep trying to meditate, and suddenly I'm full of love and bliss. And you think, what on earth is that? Well, you know what it is because you've been reading about it for thousands of years. It's the nature of awareness freed from thought. Kabir called it, the mystic Kabir called it, the divine melody.
Yes.
The problem with the divine melody is the thinking mind is like a jet engine at takeoff on a runway, and it just drowns out the divine melody. So you just have to calm down the thinking, take a step away from the thinking, and the divine melody can just burst through very gently. And when you feel it, even once, it changes your life, I think.
Talking about your story in the beginning of our conversation, what made you start meditating? Is that the awareness that people around you, when you were growing up, were always keeping on suffering? Is that what you're saying? That you started to, what made you, how did you start meeting the concept of meditation?
I noticed the suffering of the people I was grew up with, and then I embarked on my own corporate career for 5 years in London. I
Okay.
started off in sales. I moved into marketing management and then management consultancy. And I had friends. I had a good salary. I lived in a nice place, and I wasn't happy. I just felt so dead inside. And I think when you do put something dead, like money, at the heart of your life, you do feel dead inside. And I'd sort of had access a little bit to these ideas. I read Rousseau at university, and he talked about how we always live in the future. We're never in the present moment. But then I read Joseph Campbell, The Hero with a Thousand Faces. And I was working in management consultancy. And in my day, in my spare time, I was reading Joseph Campbell saying that the more you base you center your life around something dead, the more you'll move into a wasteland, which
Oh,
is
yes.
exactly how I felt. And he said, follow your bliss. Put something you love at the heart of your life and follow it and follow it. And don't worry about money, don't worry about rewards, just follow it.
Follow it.
And I thought, I like the sound of that because I do, I just felt so bored and so dead. So I thought, what's my bliss? Well, I love ideas, philosophy, I love writing stories and writing philosophical observations. So I thought, I'm going to be a writer. And I said to a friend, I'm going to be a writer. He said, no. He said, either you're a writer or you're not a writer. If you're a writer, live as a writer. Don't try to become a writer because you'll never get there. I thought, absolutely. So I chucked in my job. I walked out on a Friday afternoon in July 1991, many years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, I had £3,000 in the bank. I moved town. I taught English part-time for 10 years. I had less than £500 in the bank for those 10 years. I had no money at all. I was continuously unemployed, and then I was writing, and I was teaching part-time, just 3 hours a day.
Wow.
And it was the best thing I ever did, and I never missed the money. And I wrote my first book, Free to Be Human, which came out 3 years after I'd, sorry, 4 years after I retired. And so I just, yes, I followed my bliss. And as I
Wow.
followed my bliss, it's led me in the direction of the inner answer through meditation and.
I found that an amazing story, and I think a lot of people that are out there hearing this story, can you tell them What would you, if they are feeling the same kind of, and many people out there are, certainly in this society and at this moment, David, if they are feeling like you are feeling, like the corporate is not, that's what I talk about in my true world. I help people, guiding people to their true world. So what would you say being a first step, not to leave it all behind and change careers, but is there a step? I don't know if it's in your book as well. Is there a step that you would advise to people? Is it start meditating? Is that what you would advise? Or is there another thing that you would say if you are feeling that kind of suffering, if you are feeling so dead inside, what would be the first thing that you would tell them to do?
I wouldn't recommend necessarily to start meditating. I would say, notice that you're feeling dead inside.
The
Just be aware.
notice.
Yes, be aware of it. I mean, a lot of the mystics say awareness is the only word you need to remember when you're on the spiritual path. If you're,
True.
I was deeply aware of my suffering and I paid a lot of attention to it. Don't cover that suffering over. If you're
Okay.
feeling dead, if you're in the wasteland, be aware of it. That's the first thing.
Yes.
Because being intensely aware of it creates energy for change. And then you need to think, follow your bliss. Okay, well, what is my bliss? Is there something you'd love to do?
Do.
Not something that just gives you pleasure, but something that really gives you delight and fulfillment.
Like fills your heart.
Fulfills your heart, exactly. And then try to devise a cunning plan whereby you can find a way to earn a living. In my case, the ideal thing was to do that part time.
Part time.
I didn't want to starve to death heroically. You
No.
know, I wanted to be part of the world, teach kids English as a foreign language, and the rest of the day I was reading and writing for 10 years. And so I didn't have any money, but I had this freedom, which after 5 years in corporate work was just worth so much. So if you can arrange your life so you can follow your bliss and support yourself without using all your time and energy, you can start moving in the right direction. And
Beautiful.
then if you're when you're following your bliss, because you love what you're doing, the quality of what you do tends to be quite high. And it tends to be much higher than people are just dead in their hearts doing it as
Of
a job
course.
for money. So then you share it. I gave away my articles and I sent it to people like Harold Pinter and John Pilger and these people who I eventually came to know. And Joseph Campbell said, if you follow your bliss, helping hands will come from where you
I agree.
never expected. So people recognize that you're doing something from the heart, and they would like to support you because they know it brings life to the world. You know, it's a beautiful thing. So you have to overcome your fear to a certain extent, but you don't have to dive into the deep end and throw everything away.
No, I agree.
You need a middle ground, I think.
And so, are you saying that the media lens, that part of your life that you created, I forgot the co-creator, the co-founder, also David, I suppose.
Yes,
Yes. Yeah.
there are two of us who set
Yes.
it up, David Cromwell,
Yes.
and
What about, is that one of those things that you found is also from your heart and something that you needed to do from your bliss?
yes. When I was working in business, I realized that I, there were, it was create, working for this system was creating a wasteland inside. But at about the same time in 1988, the NASA scientist James Hansen alarmed the whole world when he said, "We're heading for climate change disaster."
Yes.
And I was working business. I knew the logic of business. Profit comes before everything else.
I agree.
And I, if you, so the corporate system subordinates people and planet to profit. So the wasteland that was in me, Cyclops, individually, I could see was being created in the world around me. And I could see that it took me a few years after I retired. I could see that the corporate media was a huge factor promoting this system that's killing the planet, destabilizing the climate, subordinating everybody, and creating this culture of perpetual war. So, with
Still up
David,
until today.
till today, sadly. And so, with David Cromwell, we said we were inspired by a website in America called Fairness and Accuracy Reporting. We said, why don't we analyze media reporting on climate change, on war, then look to the credible experts, climate people like James Hansen, climate scientists, or high-level UN diplomats talking about the effects of Iraqi sanctions on
Yes.
children in Iraq. And we'll point out to readers the aspects of the truth has been
Yes, the truth.
filtered out by the media, because it's a corporate media system. It depends on is profit maximizing, it
Of
depends on
course.
advertisers, and it depends on government subsidized cheap news. So all it's not a conspiracy, but there's this kind of filtering system where a lot of stuff that powerful interests don't like gets filtered out. So for me, that was it also following my bliss, because I was sort of addressing the wasteland that's been created
Yeah.
outside. So again, the philosophy there was, we're writing these things and we're going to send them out for free. We're not charging for it. We don't want to be like the corporate system. We don't want to be dependent on advertisers. And what's happened is people started supporting us, like Joseph Campbell said. And for the last 24 years, I've been living on donations,
Wow.
which doesn't make me rich, but I can live a happy life.
Great. And so what I hear, and that's why I wanted to talk about the media lens, because what I hear, one of my core values is that honesty and authenticity. Because once you are in that kind of energy, it's a totally different game. And would you say that the media, everything, is that also ego-driven? Is that all the, if you look at the difference between the heart and the bliss and, the love, opposite the ego, is there also, is that why this society is so money-minded and profit-minded? Is it all about the ego there?
Well, if you've worked in a corporation, anybody listening will know that every decision, every bit of behavior and conversation has to serve the maximized
Yes.
profit. Anybody who doesn't do that on a regular basis gets fired.
Yes.
So if everything you're doing is for profit, that is really for, you could say, for greed. So yes, it's absolutely ego driven. The problem is, there's a Canadian lawyer, Joel Bakken, who wrote a book and produced a documentary called The Corporation. And he said, when you look at the effect of this profit oriented behavior in the real world, this system, and check it next to the clinical diagnosis psychopathy, for psychopaths, you have to conclude that the corporate system is psychopathic,
Wow.
because it can't have feelings for what it's doing. It has to put itself first. It
First.
has no remorse. It is utterly merciless. There is no space on the bottom line for compassion, literally. So it's even worse than ego. It's the extreme end of ego. It's a psychopathic
Yes.
system. And when you look at the world around us, you can see that perpetual war, and I mean the heat wave we've got at the moment, is just one more symptom of this extraordinarily rapid change in climate.
Wow. Now, tell me a little bit about your daily life. Are you living that in that bliss, living in that warm-hearted kind of energy? Are you experiencing stress? It's just, how are you experiencing stress? And is it the meditation that helps you to not, to experience less stress, maybe?
Well, it's really interesting. When I wrote this book, short book about ego, I was basically writing about the experience of love and bliss I have in meditation. Not all the time. I have a spark. Sometimes I have a lot. Sometimes it lasts all day and through to the
Yes.
next day. And I was when I wrote the book, it was so wonderful to write this material down that I felt love and bliss all the way through as I was writing. And then when I came to edit the book, it's very much an intellectual task, and it's
Yes.
very, very
Yes, I
demanding.
know. I've done it, yeah.
Yeah, as you know. And then, the bliss became obscured by this jet engine of intellectual activity.
Because it needs to be right. For me, it's always about it needs to be right. And that's not from the heart or from the bliss. It has nothing to do with being right, Yeah.
And in the past, when I was writing about the Iraq War or the Libya war, I would often get very stressed and angry and upset. But even during the Gaza genocide, Been what see everybody's been seeing pictures of horribly injured children carried by their parents on X and social media, and I've been writing about that. And there have been times, which a lot of people on the left would find quite sacrilegious, when I felt bliss when I've been writing about these awful, awful events, because of I feel so much compassion. And compassion is
Oh,
blissful.
yes. Oh,
Yeah.
yes.
Anger, of course, is agony.
Yeah. So it's an energy of expansion instead of the energy of contraction. That's how I see it. Like, you know, if you write or you post those things out of an energy of bliss and expansion in the country, when you do it out of the anger and the contraction, is that what you say?
you put that very well. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Very important. Everything's energy. We know that, David. So I
Yeah,
just want to
yeah.
confirm that to anyone listening that,
Yeah.
you know, it's all about your love, your bliss, everything you talk about. And I think in meditation, you change your energy. You change your energy
Yeah.
from focus outside to
Yeah.
your bliss and your love and, less thoughts to the inside. So,
Yeah. And when I'm, if I am suffering, I'll meditate twice a day anyway, but if I'm suffering, I'll sit down for an hour and I'll look at the sadness. And actually,
wow.
and that will digest the sadness. In the book I wrote about my father who died 5 years ago,
Yes.
he had kidney failure and heart failure, and he was stuck in a hospital for 4 weeks, the last 4 weeks of his life. He couldn't see any of his family, couldn't see me or anyone else,
Oh,
because of COVID.
but yeah, of course.
And when he died, it was terrible because hadn't been able to see him,
You
and
couldn't say goodbye.
I couldn't say goodbye. The last thing he said to me on the phone was, "I've got two scoops of ice cream here waiting to be devoured." Those were his last words. "I've got to go." So he was having his ice cream,
Oh.
and so I sat down after that. And as I'm sure you know, when the sadness is really intense, it almost feels like you feel claustrophobic because you can't escape from this pain. So I sat and watched the pain. This is my main meditation. I sit and watch the suffering in my chest. And after
Wow.
45, 50 minutes of going deeply into the pain, it starts to feel more neutral. Then it starts to feel even pleasurable. And I'm thinking, pleasurable after my dad died? That's scandalous. And then I felt bliss. I felt love and bliss. And so this is why I've written the book, because I'm not enlightened. I'm not a sort of guru or a master meditator, but I've experienced over and over again that you can alchemize. In fact, the book was originally called Human Alchemy. You
Oh.
can alchemize your suffering into love and bliss, because it's a
Yes.
way of redirecting attention away from thought into feeling. And you go through the feeling, and there's that white screen of awareness, the divine
Yes.
melody, and you can
Yes.
feel the love and bliss. So that's simply the message I'm trying to share to people.
Wow. And can you tell us a little bit? I'm not saying you're an expert in ego, but let's just talk a little bit about the positivity of the ego. Is there a positive thing about ego or not for you?
It depends how you define the ego. There's a lot of philosophical discussion about, and psychological discussion, isn't there, that you need to have a sense of self and you need to have boundaries. But the specific, there's so many different ways of defining ego.
I know.
Patanjali, the master of yoga, the founder of yoga, says ego arises when the seer identifies with the seen, when the
Oh, yes.
awareness identifies with what it's seeing. But the specific interpretation I'm using is the desire to be special.
Oh. Yeah, that's a
So
good one.
there's a Sufi story that says that God made a little joke when we're born. He whispered in our ear, "You're the special one." And the joke is that he says that to everyone. So we all come out into the world peeping through our eyes, thinking we're the special one. Then we have the huge shock that everybody else thinks the same thing, and then the struggle begins. So yes, I mean, I guess psychologists could argue, and I think mystics would argue as well, that you need to develop a strong ego, and you need to, in fact, it's not a bad thing to experience success and experience wealth so that you realize it doesn't deliver what you think it's going to deliver.
I agree.
If you've never had the rewards of ego, you might be thinking that would be just amazing. Mm. But when you've reached your goal, like Truman Capote said, that gives you a chance to break out of that illusion. So that could be, yes, the positive side of ego, that it's a step on the path.
Yes, it's a part of the journey.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Now, we slowly, I mean, time flies, and I could talk for a long time with you, David. I didn't realize how much your work, you know, your passion is aligned to mine. But let me ask you the question, is there a quote or a statement or something that you live by daily? Because I can hear in your conversation how many quotes and things you find quite important, and that is in your journey is probably supporting you or motivating you or inspiring you. Is there a quote or statement that you live by? Is it in the book maybe? Or
oh, that's a difficult one. The basic idea, I think, would be the kingdom of heaven lies within.
Mm, I love that one.
Yes, that to me, that's what that meant. The kingdom of heaven was the realm of love and bliss. It wasn't a city in the clouds.
Mm.
It wasn't a city up in space. It was the experience of love and bliss within us all.
Mm,
and every time I move away from that, I suffer. And I do move away from that. I've been conditioned like everybody else.
Mm.
And sometimes I need to bang my head against the wall, you know. But I, yes.
Great.
Maybe that sums it up nicely.
Mm, very much so. That's what I call true wealth. I mean, it's, you know, it's the health, the wealth. Because health is that bliss, hey? I think if you are in that energy of bliss and love, and there's so much more health instead of suffering and illness and disease and all that. So
yes,
I just want to say thank you, David. This was such a beautiful conversation, and it's confirming once again how important it is that we live from the inside out and not, you know, always looking at the outside. So
yes.
Is there any word you want to end with? One word, something, a feeling, a thought, something you want to end this conversation?
Just, I think the idea is to experiment, be aware of your suffering, be deeply aware of your suffering, be aware of glimpses of something better, and experiment with moving in that direction.
Yeah, and feeling it. I hear in your, you know, in your message, there's a lot of sit with it, feel it through.
Yes.
Which is maybe a very important message we can give to anyone listening out there. Instead of pushing it away and trying to find any outside thing that can help you, rather go inside and feel it through. Is that a good one?
Yes. Absolutely. It's all inside. Everything we're looking for outside is inside. Yes.
Thank you so much, David. Really appreciated this conversation.
Oh, well, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to you, special you out there. What a powerful conversation we had again with David Edwards. It was a simple, honest, grounded conversation. And there's a line he shared that still echoes in me, because it was one of the last minutes that he talked about the quote, "The kingdom of heaven lives within." And I so love that quote, I have to say. Isn't that exactly what we forget in this busy society, this busy world of social media, of likes and constant screens? We think that peace is something that we need to earn. I was conditioned like that. You need to do something to earn something. I was conditioned that happiness is what you aim for, that it lives somewhere down the road. But this conversation with David reminds us that just like the core of the brand True Wealth, that nothing outside will ever deliver what we're truly longing for inside. He spoke about True Wealth as bliss, as the experience of love and bliss, not the kind that requires sacrifice, not the kind that's far away or hard to reach. Oh no, the kind that comes when we stop fighting. And when we stop looking for the next fix, the next solution, the next escape, instead, you and I today, we agree to just sit with everything that's here, with the good, the painful, the uncertain. And later on, probably in a few weeks' time or later in the year, I will share with you one of the biggest challenges that I've had this year, the first 6 months. But I'm not you truly ready to talk about that now. But I can say that true wealth is not about solving your life. It's about feeling your life in yourself, in your body. No resistance, no shame. And that includes every single part of you. Now, I've been following Peter Crone a little bit these last weeks and months. He really inspires me around his message of freedom, because he was talking to about the metaphor about freedom when we sit at the dinner table. Imagine that we sit at the dinner table with all our emotions. We invite them all, the joy, the sadness, the anger, the peace, and we welcome them all as guests. Can you imagine living like that? No longer any dividing your feelings into good or bad, but truly seeing them as all human, as sacred, as yours. As David Edwards was saying to us, be aware of your suffering and experiment with it. Experience it and experiment with it. That's the shift. That's the invitation. So, yes, this summer, I encourage you not to chase your peace, but to notice it right here in your breath, here with me in the space between all the doing. And if something moved you in today's episode, and I say it every time again and again, you are so welcome to reach out to me. I'm always here for real conversation. No pressure, just truth. You can email me at danielle@danielsachs.com or find me on LinkedIn. And if you're ready to take it one step further, of course, you can watch the True Wealth Masterclass or book a clarity call with me. All the links and all the info is on the website, danielsachs.com. But more than anything, I want you this summer to be kind to yourself, to be compassionate. Sit around the table with all your emotions and feelings. Be honest. And remember, the bliss you're searching for does not live out there. It already is and lives within you. I'm your host, Danielle Sachs. Thank you so much for joining me. And until next time, bye bye for now.
From Stress to Authentic Success was presented by Danielle Sachs. Join Danielle at the same time next week here on UK Health Radio. And meanwhile, for more on how to thrive in business and everyday life by being true to yourself, go to daniellesachs.com.